Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KJ and Don Darrow on WEEI. WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
What is Mac's role kind of in collaboration of the direction of the offense, things he likes, things he doesn't like? I mean, I understand he's a 23-year-old and he's a player, not a coach, but what role will he have in helping to shape things?
We'll do everything we can, really, to make it as good for him as we can. He's our quarterback, so... a lot of components of that. I don't know.
The second hour of KJ and Don Dower here right now on WEEI 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Mark, I'm not laughing at anything we've said off air, but those pauses from Belichick say everything about what's a really big nothing going on with the Patriots.
I mean, that's par for the course for Bill Belichick, though. I mean, I don't know if that's
those
says.
Are longer than usual. Usually it's like a, well, he didn't even get you that.
Listen, this is the Patriots. So, first of all, the more I hear on Mac Jones, the better I feel. I feel great about his development. And there was a quote he had. There was a quote from Jacoby Myers that emerged this week that I really liked. Okay? And it said, he goes... here it is. Jacoby Myers, quote, he's the real, this is from Mike Reese. He's the real deal. We're all trying to catch up what's in his mind, his vision. Like, I love that. You know, that's Jones leading, having some decisiveness and conviction to his game. I think he's really good. I think he's going to be even better this year. And that leads me to this. I know there's been a lot of hullabaloo about the coaches and the lack of structure or whatever it is and who's running the offense, who's calling the plays, all those things. I think the Patriots' shortcomings in 2022 are going to come down to a lack of talent in certain spots on the roster. That's where their shortcomings will emerge from. It's not going to be because Joe Judge isn't good enough or Matt Patricia's a joke and he can't call plays or they're hamstringing the offense. It's going to be because... they don't have enough talent, or they don't have as much talent as the teams in the AFC. I think this is ultimately the coaches going to become somewhat of a non-story once the season starts.
That's what you hope. But let me put in perspective what you were just saying, what you liked about Mac Jones. Going at the end of last season, were you more concerned, hey, next year you'd like to see Mac better physically develop and be able to handle the rigors of the NFL season a little better? Or his mind. The mind has already been there. No one ever questioned Mac Jones's decision-making ability, his leadership qualities. Those are already there. So really we're saying, you know, hey, he has a really, really good personality. Well, what you want to see is, hey, he's got a really, really good, strong arm to get to players and make plays. It's about making plays. I don't like this soliloquy of, hey, you know, when it comes to leadership, Mac is supposed to be the leader. For God's sakes, it's a no-name roster. Mac Jones is the star name on this roster. Am I wrong?
No, he's probably
okay.
The biggest name.
Right, he's the biggest name. That's why you're gonna be at OTAs because he has to build the what's the word I'm looking for the energy of the team, right? He's responsible for all of that while all this non-decision-making is going on above his head. He's the manager with a lot of employees who may not really be able to complete the job, but he's the manager. So right now we're saying he's going to be a really good manager of a below-standard team. That's really exciting right there. And this is no knock on Mac at all. But look, if you're bringing in Tom House, you're not sitting there doing crossword puzzles. You're working on arm strength.
Well, I don't think, I mean, there's no reason for you to be so down on this situation because
I'm not down on Mac at all. I'm down on kind of how this is being pushed into Mac's, into his area for the lack of responsibility at the coaching level, right? Like what Tommy Curran just asked, he said, look, I know the guy's 23 and he's not a coach, but the way it's looking, you're almost putting this guy out here like he's like coach de facto. And that's not and that's not what you want to see for Mac. You want to be able to see pieces put around him for him to succeed on the field. I could care less about him being a great locker room guy. He's going to be. He's in his second year.
I think if he does turn into sort of a coach de facto, that's a good thing. That's what Brady was all those years. That's what all the great quarterbacks are. You know, that part of the job is important. The culture creator part of it, the work ethic part of it, holding guys accountable, all those things are important. And if you have a quarterback, you have something. You can start with having a quarterback. And all these things make me feel like, not that I didn't already, but that the Patriots have their quarterback and that it's going to go well. They'll figure out the stuff around him later at some point. I thought Bill Belichick would have more urgency considering you don't know how much longer he's going to coach.
I like that word, urgency.
But I don't know why you feel like it feels like you're really down on the situation as a whole.
Yes.
When if you have a quarterback and Mac Jones proves even more so this year that he is the franchise guy for the next 10 years, that is the best place you can start.
Well, so at least until his new contract is up.
It could be disappointing, but, I mean, disappointing in terms of guys around him not giving him enough help to help them win games. But if he proves even more so this year that he is the dude we think he is, I'm not going to be that down. I mean, they're not a Super Bowl roster anyway, offense, defense, nothing about them is a Super Bowl roster right now. So if he can prove that he's even better than he was in his Pro Bowl rookie season, I'm not going to be that down.
Did you throw Pro Bowl in there when they got rid of the Pro Bowl? Like being a Pro Bowl player now is not.
It doesn't really mean
but
anything.
But I understand what you're saying. That look, the guy has performed and he's performed beyond expectations. I will say, I'll be the first one to say that right there. Mac Jones was the best rookie quarterback last year. He might be the best second year quarterback this year. That just might be the case.
Like if we're making a comparison, I know this is a different sport, but like Jason Tatum, for example, like Jones sort of you hope takes that same path, that same trajectory as Tatum, where this year it's not going to be about like winning games, getting to the Super Bowl, winning a championship. You just want to see a little bit more. You want him to take another step. You want him to put up some numbers, you know, look good, look 5 touchdowns in a game, 450 yards in a game.
So maybe an experimentation season this could be, you think?
I don't like that word. I just show me a little bit more than last year. I just don't see the Patriots as a Super Bowl team. You certainly don't. So
no.
Show me if you're Mac Jones a little bit more, especially if you don't have elite weapons. Like I said, give me a 400-yard game. Throw 5 touchdowns 1 week. You know, I don't expect you to lead the team to a Super Bowl.
But would it be too much to say, okay, you would like to see this Patriots team get back to the playoffs and at least win a game in the playoffs, right? As the next growing step, you know, even if it's most likely going to be a wild card. So you're like, okay, can they get in there and create an upset, you know, like show that, hey, this team really did something beyond even more means than even. And then you would tell me you have a building block, right? Because everything is about the last thing you did. And the last thing you did was get to the playoffs with the rookie quarterback. You got blown away by a division opponent. You can erase that feeling by getting back to the playoffs and pulling off an upset. If you told me that this team could get to a second round in the playoffs, I'd be like, oh, my gosh. I'm going to get my rosary beads right now. But I don't want to see a team that's just going to be just absolutely garbage out there. And it just feels like maybe something new is going on. Here's Belichick when he was asked, is this a new system going on?
You wouldn't call it a new system, would you? Or would you say that the streamlining process that you're going through, is it a new system on offense?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
How big are the changes that you're making?
I don't know. I make changes every year. I can't. I wouldn't be able to rank them.
Oh, I miss that guy so much. listen.
That's fair, right? Because you're not going to say we're... You're not going to tell a guy we're installing a brand new offense because this is going to be listened to. Then they're going to, again, nobody feels bad across the league for the Patriots and what they're struggling to go through right now. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a hoot.
First of all, I don't think the Patriots are going to be, what did you call them? They're not
experimental.
They're not going to be a bad team. They're not going to be a bad team. They're going to be a good team. I don't know if they're not going to do anything noteworthy this year in my mind.
You need to read my kid bedtime stories, man, because you're all sunshine.
I think they're going to be a good team. I think they're going to be a solid team. A solid team. I think they're going to be a representable team.
10 wins?
Yeah, it'll be one of those teams.
10 wins.
It's going to be one of those teams that probably beats the teams they should beat and loses to the teams they should lose to. They're not going to take the next step until they get significant dynamic weapons around Jones. That's when they take the next step. In addition to, and we'll see how this could be the story of the year, does their defense become more, does it become faster, more athletic, more dynamic, like Jack Jones, all these guys that they drafted who I'm hearing good things about, do those guys really announce their presence as rookies? And do they give the Patriots sort of a new look, help them move past? I know Devin McCourty's still on the team, but move past the Devin McCourty's and those types of players into a new era of Patriots defensive football. If they can do that and then eventually supplement that culture.
How do you do all that and get 10 wins?
Well, if Jones is good and your defense is more athletic than we saw last year, you could win. You know, you'll beat the teams that you should beat.
I think if it, with an improved defense, you might steal a game or two. That to me is like, let's say the Patriots steal a game or two off of a more reinvigorated defense athletically, and the offense is just a tad better than it was last year. That now puts me to 8 wins. I would give them 8 wins if they steal 2 games.
But there's still things we don't know. I mean, What if Devontae Parker has an Adrian Beltre type season? What if he has a great year?
The Nelson Aguilar breakout season that was supposed to come last year?
Well, that didn't happen.
Or the Jonnu Smith season that he was just going to be an absolute beast? My goodness, he looked like Ultimate Warrior in his promos.
All right, but now Jones is a year older. This is a different new player. So the door has to be left open.
Look,
I know, but Devontae Parker's not Nelson Aguilar. Maybe Devontae Parker is better than Nelson Aguilar in terms of picking up the system or acquiescing to the Patriot, whatever.
I think right now the best receiver in the room is Kendrick Bourne. And so, if anything, you might see a Kendrick Bourne explosion that you started to see towards the end of last season. I could see that continuing on.
What if Tyquan Thornton is a good player? What if he adds something to this team? We don't know.
I can only go by the receipts that I've already seen. What I saw, Kendrick Bourne started to step up towards the end of last year, and there's a relationship that I could see him developing with Mac, with him as the number one receiver. I think Jacoby Myers will still continue to be that solid guy, but I think, you know, the waiting on the Devontae Parkers and the Aguilars to turn around and the Jonnu Smiths to re-show up again, there's just really zero room for that era with the team where you know that we're not talking about superstars and great players trying to recapture some of their glory. We're talking about guys who are just trying to make sure that they could still be in the NFL.
You have Bill Belichick as your head coach still. People forget that. You have Mac Jones a year older.
My thing is the offense is the problem, right? Age is the defense problem, right? Age you can replace with youth, right? Talent, you can't necessarily replace. You need talent. Age regardless on offense. If you gave me a 32-year-old wide receiver that can get it done in games and move chains and stuff like that, I'd rather have that. I don't care about his age. On the defense, yeah, I totally get it. I don't want a bunch of older guys running around trying to tackle young guys. So age is just a simple fix for the defense. Could we agree to that? Really, it's just an age thing?
I mean, well, you need guys that can play.
Okay, you could sprinkle the veterans in. McCourty's going to be in there. You might rotate him in on third down nickel and dime package and so forth, but you've got leadership back there. But on the offensive side of the ball, your leader's 23 in his second year, and he's the quarterback.
Yeah. I think
you don't know who's calling his plays.
You're too consumed with the idea that they're going to be hopeless. They're not going to be hopeless.
On the offensive side of the ball?
Offensively.
With Joe Judge potentially overseeing it, or Matt Patricia?
I totally disagree.
Okay.
I don't think those guys are going to be the disasters that you are making them out to be.
Like, they've been disasters already when we've seen them. Like, Detroit, the Giants, disasters.
But that's when they were head coaches, though. Oh, that's when they had to infuse their culture, their personality on the entire room. They don't have to do that now.
So now when they're the specific coach, it's going to be better than when they were the head coach, when they had to go get someone who specialized in that? For God's sakes, Jason Garrett as his offensive coordinator, where many people said that Jason Garrett was a better coordinator than he was a coach, and then went back and coordinated and was horrible.
Do you have faith in Bill Belichick?
On the defensive side of the ball, yes.
He's the head coach, though.
No, with the offense, no.
So what are you saying? It was those years with Brady, Bill Belichick had nothing to do with the success of the Patriots offense? Nothing?
Okay, that's extreme. We're talking about today.
But
I'm not playing something on DVD
but if
here.
Bill Belichick
this
had,
is not DVD commemorative DVDs over Super Bowls. We're talking about what's on the plate
Belichick,
now.
But Belichick was the guy that ushered in Josh McDaniels. He elevated him.
Okay,
Bill
was.
O'Brien.
Like, I'm asking is now. Is Belichick the guy to oversee that offense and make sure everything runs with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia being the immediate guys? Is that the move right now? Not was, is.
I think Bill Belichick had a hand in the success the Patriots offense has had in the past with McDaniels and Bill O'Brien. And as a result, I think if they have continued success, he's going to have a hand in what they do this year. It's not all going to be Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. Belichick will be a big part of what the offense does, and you have the know-how and the everything Mac Jones brings to the table in year two at your disposal as well. So between Jones and Belichick and the history and all the knowledge they possess and skills, I think it's not going to be a disaster.
KJ and Dondero, WEEI 617-779-7937. Get your calls in regarding the Patriots. We'll talk Celtics game 5. Right now, it's time to trend with Nick.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to KJ and Dondero on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Not to really belabor the fire point, but for you, is this something that coming into the game a day or two before, is that something where you want to make sure that you send that message at that point? Is it, I guess, are you coming up with that plan going into the game, or is it just you feel what's going on the floor, in the crowd, and that kind of thing in the game?
It's both, for sure. A lot of it is because of how hostile the environment was, the fans chanting, doing all their, you know, shenanigans and all that. Boston knowing how big of a game it is for them. If they get the win, they take, you know, control of the series. So it's all that mixed into the, and the experience, knowing how fickle momentum is in the finals. We've been through it all, so try to rely on past experience to understand how important that was.
KJ and Dondero, WEEI. That's Steph Curry talking about here. He just skewed the Celtics on the Barbie in game 4, now leading to game 5. tomorrow night in San Francisco. Mark, I thought I'd be on after game five tomorrow night, but I won't. So I guess I'll have to like do bedtime. Well that's it. That's the thing. I wonder what adjustments, now that both teams see where they've made two mistakes that have both given them two losses. Mm-hmm. What changes in the game planning now? What do the Celtics have to do differently? The Celtics, we'll get to a player, mm-hmm. but what do the Celtics have to do differently, knowing that they've got to get this game on the road because there may not even be a game seven? That's the other part. They got to win this.
So I would have preferred that they did this in game four in Boston on the road for the Warriors, but I think you could do it now. You've got to try to – obviously, this is an obvious statement. You have to try to bring down Steph Curry's production. I would double-team him. I would force him to get rid of the ball and force other guys, even though they are capable, I would force other guys to beat you. And the other thing I would do is every trip down the floor as an offensive unit for the Celtics, I would have at least one guy every trip set a screen on Steph Curry. Every time he needs to get hit, he needs to be banging into guys, he needs to feel the physicality and the size of the Celtics. Every trip, no matter what you're going to try to do offensively, I would have somebody get Steph, get the ball to whoever Steph's guarding, and set a screen on Curry, wear him down, wear that 6'2", 34-year-old down. Every time you have the ball, you have to address Curry directly.
I think you cannot let the interior go to waste. I think you have to concentrate on going after what Golden State cannot do, cannot teach, which is height. And if you're going to get them into foul trouble, like, look, I'm not one that says, hey, look for the foul call. We're not talking Jason Tatum. I'm talking about start taking moves to the hole. Post up Al Horford, you know, because Klay Thompson has four fouls, Jordan Poole four fouls. Those are the most fouls for him in game four, and those are perimeter guys. So you can't allow, you know, Andrew Wiggins running around doing what he's doing and only have two fouls. Draymond Green only had three fouls. So you want to take away any type of size that they have, and it makes defending easier. Because if they don't have size, they don't have people who can rebound the ball and help Steph push the action.
But is it, do the Celtics really have that big of an advantage in terms of size?
Absolutely.
They have an advantage, but is it that big?
Who would stop Al Horford on the block? Who would stop Al Horford from the mid-range? That's the thing. You have to put them into a half-court defense and not
turn it over. Don't turn it over.
Yeah, I mean, that's easier said than done, because part of turnovers is steals. Now, there were bad plays that are going to stick out, like the Tatum, you know, attempted cross-court pass. Yeah. Right? Those are going to stand out and echo more, but it's still only one turnover. It's a key. It feels like it's five, but it's still one. And so, again, I think it's just like, look, do you believe, you'd have to say, do you believe that Kevon Looney could stop Al Horford from getting to the bucket?
Look, Looney's played well in this series.
And do you think he could?
I think he's played well, and I think, you know, Horford is in a dominant low post presence.
You have to make those adjustments. Look, if the Warriors are the experts of doing it from the outside, you're not going to beat them at that. Really, the game is to be won in the mid-range, because you don't even see Klay Thompson really trying to come in and take shots from shorter than 18.
I just think that the Warriors, it's not a huge advantage. The Celtics do have the size advantage. Looney's 6'9", Williams is 6'9". Horford's 6'9". They have nobody else really to match that guy. So right. I agree with that. Like, you'd like to see Horford assert his size, especially he's a big dude too, assert that size and strength a little bit more. But, the Warriors, Wiggins is 6'7", and he's really athletic, so he can make up for some of the lack of size. Green's 6'6", but he's really energetic and strong. Like, it's just, you know, he has enough size and energy to match sort of what the Celtics are trying to do. So I just don't think it's a huge advantage. It's not like the Bucks, where you had 6'11 Giannis and 7-foot Lopez and 6'10 Bobby Portis. Like, that was real big size.
Look, Al Horford had no offensive rebounds. Wiggins had three.
Right.
Wiggins had 16 total rebounds. Al Horford had six.
And I thought one of the biggest moments in the game, Marcus Smart hit the three. It was like the only points they scored after that 7:32 mark. He hit a three to put the Celtics up 94-90. The Warriors came back down the court. I forget who shot it. They missed. It might have been a layup. The layup was missed, and Wiggins was right there for a little putback dunk. And then it was 94-92. Instead of the Celtics with the ball and a four-point lead, it was 94-92, and it went off.
You just heard what you said, right? Putback dunk.
Yeah.
Offensive rebound.
Yeah. No, it was a huge story.
Right. And so if I'm the Celtics, I make the Warriors feel like that they have to get to the inside because they don't have any inside presence for them. You know, they don't, the Warriors, you don't see them run any play going to the post. You don't see that at all. So if you start forcing action on the offensive end by the Celtics to start making those post players play, and let's say Looney gets into fouls, now you start, now you might have to bring in Kuminga. Or now you might have to go to Otto Porter, might have to play more interior and less on the outside. They want to play outside and stay away from the end. But if these guys have to start playing interior defense or try to force themselves to play a zone, you remember in game three where they tried to go to zone and went straight to Al Horford in the middle. And I said, that's how you attack the zone. That's, you want to get them into that type of trouble for Golden State to say they've got to do some type of different defense. They've got to get exotic with their defense, because they have no real big man to handle size. And Al Horford, it doesn't mean that he can't get in there, take it to the hole, and pass out, because he's a great passer. And it would free up room if you want to take the shot if you're Tatum from the outside or for Brown from the mid-range. If you want to move those shots in, you can, because they're going to have to help on the inside. They're not going to, you know, Draymond Green will probably be the primary defender on the block. But with his volatility, you just don't know. The guy may be one foul away from being teed up and getting out of the game. So you've got to play to those strengths if you're the Celtics, and you lead the league in defensive field goals from two. Nobody shot over 50% in the league against them. So you want to force the Warriors to say, you know what, we just can't stand out here and do it when we don't have anybody there even to rebound what we're doing.
Yeah, they have to rebound better. There has to be better effort for rebounding. There has to be, and I just think you can do things on Curry. Like, you've got to be better off of the screens that the Warriors set. You can't, like, you can see those screens from a mile away. If yes. Curry is going to then, I mean, if Looney is going to kill you on the pick and roll, fine. Let him try to do that.
Right.
Just don't, because Curry, when he hits a three, okay, not only do you get the 3 points, and he's really good at doing that, and it happens a lot because he's one of the highest percentage three-point shooters, but it's also such an injection of momentum for the Warriors and the crowd and everybody, whether it's home or away. When it's home, when it's in Boston, the crowd comes out of it. When it's in Golden State, they come into it. They get into it. So you just not allowing Curry to hit threes is so huge, not just on the scoreboard, but from an overall momentum aspect of the game. So take away those screens. You can't be sinking down. You have to, when you see your guy, when your guy, like if Horford is guarding whoever's Porter and he sets a screen, you have to be prepared. Immediately you're going to jump up to where Steph's going to be. You know, and if he hits a fadeaway three from 5 foot behind the arc, you just tip your cap.
Right.
But otherwise, like, get up in the space of Curry and let him dish it off to Porter. Like, whatever. If he beats you, fine. Don't let Curry do it. You have enough of that. He's never averaged this many points in the finals in his career, and you've got the best defense he's ever seen. Something's got to change. You have to change what's been going on. The narrative of this series has to flip if you're the Celtics.
KJ and Don Darrow on WEEI. I really think that Grant Williams has to show up in a physical presence. I think when he disappeared from the game with his foul trouble in game four, it allowed, I think, the Warriors to say, okay, we don't have to worry about someone as thick as Grant Williams coming through those screens. Because as you mentioned, we're not talking about huge dudes setting screens for Steph to get open. And when you started moving Grant Williams towards the front, going through those screens, now you have a quicker big guy who can go through those screens and cause problems, and that's where you saw some of those shots that were off that weren't falling in game three, but Grant Williams not in the game in game four. You know, Clay, I mean, Steph had all day. So it's going to be imperative that Grant Williams stay out of foul trouble, not get baited in, and be that one that can go through those screens, especially at the top of the key, because he has been effective there. I'm not even worried about his offense because, look, if we've got to factor in, we need points from Grant Williams because that's going to be the key. I wouldn't be game planning for that. Whatever you can get is cool. Like I said, his 3 points is not like, hey, you know, because Grant Williams didn't show up, the Celtics struggled. I would go back to the size of the rebounding and stuff. But,
yeah.
Grant Williams having the ability to go through those screens at the top of the key is going to be key, and because there's no other body like him on the bench for the Celtics, and the Warriors know that. So literally that's how important Grant Williams is, because he's the one physical guy that can go through those screens on the perimeter and be effective.
The first thing I would do in this next game is I would run the Celtics offense through Steph Curry. Every time anyone who is being guarded by Curry gets the ball, and no matter who it is, they get the ball, and then they get a screen, and the screen, Grant Williams, big body, they're setting screens on Curry. Then in some instances, I throw the ball back to whoever Curry switches to, back to that guy, and then if it's a good matchup, you take Curry to the hole. I would try to abuse Steph Curry on defense. If you're Steph Curry, you want him to be backpedaling, even if you're not scoring. I would try to abuse him. I would keep going at him defensively. Drive, and then maybe that, you know, I don't know, slows him down or knocks him off his spot or whatever.
Because it's going to tire him out. Yeah. You saw it in game one, and then you saw it again in game three where the shots were starting to front rim because he had been worked over. You may even see Golden State try and hide Steph at the bottom of the zone, right? They're going to probably go zone again, and this is where the size comes in, because the Warriors are probably saying, okay, well, they don't really have a post game for the Celtics, so maybe if we're hiding Steph defensively towards the basket, which sounds absolutely crazy, but this is where you turn around and say, you know what, lob to Rob Williams. But just make Steph defend, because when he doesn't have to defend, he's got that energy. I mean, think about how long did he sit on the bench in that fourth quarter. Now, you got to give Jordan Poole a lot of credit. He is starting to show up in these games, and he's showing himself to be a physical problem at the top of the key. So you don't want, one, Steph to be able to have fresh legs towards the end of the game, and two, you want to be able to make him defend as early and often as possible. So I'm dead on with you with that, because yes. If there's a healthy and fresh Steph Curry with 8 minutes left to go, for him, it's almost like, okay, it's now time to play the game, and you don't want that.
As good as Marcus Smart is and as handsy as he could be in physical, like, it's just too hard. Curry's too good. He moves too well. He shoots too well. He shoots too quickly. You cannot just shut him down that way. It has to start when you have the ball. You just abuse him offensively. You go at him, even if it's in the zone. Like, that's not a hard coaching adjustment. The guys on the floor can do that. Okay, yeah. Curry's down by the basket in the zone. You can figure out a way to get a tall guy down there, even if you just back him in a couple times or something. Just get the ball near him and let him feel the presence of the physicality of the Celtics while playing defense. That will affect him offensively as the game goes on.
So what's your take on how Draymond Green was clearly affected during the two games here in Boston? We got a Draymond Green parody coming at 10:45 here on KJ and Dondero.
Bet your ass.
But when you look at what he did, you're like, you know what? It's still being taken out of the game. You're talking about 8 assists, 9 rebounds, 5 of them offensive. The points, 2 points, and I think that's what a lot of people make issue of. But he seemed to lack confidence out there. Do you think he's going to have this false sense of confidence that he may force the action for the Warriors? I think if he does it, it'd be detrimental, because sometimes when you try and do too much, you do more damage than good.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players in the series. He's terrible. He's been terrible. He's got good energy.
I love what you do to me, right?
Well, look, I think, like, in game, what was it, game two? He was a mouth. Right. And that, like, he might have gotten in the head of the Celtics. I guess he was talking a lot. Like, I don't know, whatever.
The short
but
pulling.
In terms of, like, on the court, I am way, way more concerned with Andrew Wiggins than I am Draymond Green. He'll have some good defensive moments. You know, he's a tough defender. I'm not dismissing his defensive ability. He's been a nothing offensively. And, you know, whatever, as a rebounder, he's fine. Wiggins has been a much bigger problem defensively, obviously offensively, but defensively for the Celtics than Draymond Green. Green, just, like, shut up and ignore him if you're the Celtics. He's along for the ride, essentially, for the Warriors.
Yeah, it's amazing, because Klay Thompson, who's kind of disappeared the first couple of games and started to show a little bit in game three, you wouldn't think that him and Wiggins had the same amount of points, even though Wiggins had a greater effect on the game. They take the same, both were 7 for 17 from the field. Klay was 4 of 10, Wiggins 2 of 6 from three. So it looks like Klay Thompson is starting to come around, and I think that probably should be Marcus Smart's primary attention, because You're not going to catch Steph. I think Steph is just a little too quick for Marcus Smart in terms of defending, but you got to stay locked on Klay, especially for this game, because I think the Warriors, they're looking like, I say, okay, for this series to be 2-2, they probably feel very lucky. And if they feel that way, then they know that pieces still need to come through. You say Wiggins has been there. I thought he would be there from day one, and he has been. I think you've got to watch out for the Klay Thompson explosion. That's what they're going to look for, because what you said earlier, and it's true, you've got to run everything at Steph. It hasn't. You've kind of been trying to do that. You just haven't been successful at that. But I'd be concerned that with all that attention towards Steph, that you lose focus, that Klay Thompson is slowly starting to come out of that manhole in the street like Thriller, like slowly.
There's no excuse to forget about Klay Thompson. He's been playing well. Like, you need to be able to defensively. You have to be able to account for him. You know he loves to come off the screens. If he's dribbling, that's usually a good thing for the Celtics.
Yeah.
But again, you got to see that and come off the screens and be better. We all know that. That obviously has to happen playing the Warriors. But defensively for the Warriors, or when you have the ball, the Celtics, you can go at – that's in your control. Going at Curry – like, there were a couple times the other night, Curry and Tatum were matched up, and they didn't even get Tatum the ball. That never should happen.
Like, what are you waiting for? Because – You want to give Tatum the best opportunity to go downhill with a team that you don't have to worry about a rim protector. You don't have to worry about Giannis standing there in the paint. I mean, you don't even have to worry about Andre Softy Drummond standing back there. There's really no size back there.
Yeah, and what will really help, I think, if I'm Ime Udoka, I tell them, guys, it's obviously they're trying to score,
right.
But it's really not even about scoring. It's about just taking it to Curry. Yeah. Like, he's not eventually, like, you're going to start scoring if he's the one trying to defend the rim every time or defend the guy with the ball. But it's not, don't even feel pressure to score. Just take it to Curry. That's the goal. That's the plan. Take it to him. Take it to him. If you score, great. You won't score every time. He'll have help. But you take it to him. Job well done. Success. Mission accomplished. And then eventually it'll wear guys down. You'll find open looks and you'll get some points. But take it to him.
Yeah, I think the most physical series that the Warriors had faced up to this point was Memphis, because they took it to him physically, and that's why they were able to hang as long as they did in that series until Ja Morant went out.
All right, you can still shoot threes, because I'm just asking for a couple screens on him. Then get into your offense and shoot a three or whatever.
You have to tire them out.
You always have to take him to the rack, but you have to. He has to feel physicality on every possession.
Yeah. KJ and Dondero, we wrap up the show next. We'll give you our score prediction for tomorrow night's Game 5 in San Francisco, plus the Draymond Green parody honoring Fergie. It's called Draymondlicious. Next on WEEI.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KJ and Dondero on WEEI.
Boston Sports Original.
Let that rock, Nick. That's kind of like the theme of this show. KJ, Dondero, WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for like the last hour and 50 minutes. Talked about Celtics and what happened in Game 4. Just finished talking about what should happen in Game 5. I like the conversation we got to have about Liv versus PGA, Mark. I think that's going to become a bigger story, especially if it gets revealed that Tiger Woods may be considering like a $1 or $2 or $3 billion deal to go.
Yeah, I'd be a little surprised if that happened, just considering he's already a billionaire and he doesn't want to be associated with that.
Well, you know what billionaires like. They love another billion.
I don't know. I don't know.
It'd be tough to pull Tiger, but I think it will force the PGA to start making some clear decisions about their 1099 employees, all right? They're not really employees of the PGA, they're just contractors. And the financial payouts, because, you know, I always say, if you want to know how wealthy a sport is, look at the commercials they run on television. So if you're rolling Rolex and BMW and Mercedes commercials, money is coming in. And they would like to see probably a little bit more of that money. That's not the first sport or the first athlete who's been saying that.
There's,
okay.
No, I was just going to say, there's going to be a lot of rhetoric about this next week in Brookline. Phil Mickelson, his press conference is tomorrow morning, I think, or tomorrow afternoon. Yeah. So, I mean, there are going to be a lot of guys from the PGA Tour, the LIV Tour. It's going to come kind of to a head tomorrow or this week in terms of different opinions and analysis. And it'll be fun. It's going to be a fun week.
And Mark will be at the U.S. Open next week himself. So
yep.
It'll be a KJ and Dondero al fresco. I'm kidding. Enjoy the – well, don't have too many of the – well, you're a super athlete, so I don't think you'll be out there and be like, woo, these $15 brews are
good. We'll see where we are. Well, I mean, because a big part of that show next week, honestly, will be, did the Celtics win the finals? Did they lose the finals?
Right.
Are we getting ready for game seven?
Like, right.
So that, you know, that'll determine
– You might be able to stay for nine, and then you're going to have to run back.
See what happens.
See what happens. So all this can be heard at the Odyssey app, free. Add it to your phone. You can hear shows in real time. Then once shows are over, well, you got the cool, neat playback feature, right? You can actually, like, if you pick us up at the very last minute of the show, you can rewind it all the way back. Or you can wait for the 2 hours of show posted by our producer, Nick, who does such a fabulous job. We actually kind of missed you over the last few weeks. So, but Nick, it's always good to have you back.
Good to have you, Nick.
Yeah, he's probably been here for the last 50 days, you know. You've been doing
only
HVAC.
10. Only tomorrow's 10. 11, and then I get 2 days off.
Okay, so they'll have you do some HVAC work in time for the heat. You know, as the weather's starting to pick up around here.
Yeah, right? I'm gonna crawl into the air conditioner and grab whatever's dead in it.
Well, you know what it is in New England. It's a rat, of course. They're everywhere, right? So, all right, game five coming up with the Warriors tomorrow night, and after game two. Created a parody that seemed to have taken on life, especially as gotten into game three, game four, and now we'll see how it plays out in game five. So, Mark, this brings it a little younger. You remember the song Fergalicious, right?
Yep.
Fergalicious definition.
Yeah.
Okay, you know that song. This one's called Draymondlicious. Hit it, Nick.
Four, three, two, uno.
Yeah, that's how many technicals Draymond Green literally had, like on one foul, and the NBA's not doing anything about it.
Check it out, y'all, a Draymond fit, bullying all the refs because his offense ain't shooting.
Draymondlicious definition, Jalen Shorts commando. He tackles players, hits their valleys, call him San Fernando.
He plays sleazy,
ref go easy, babysits him like he's Yeezy.
Go full on Rodman, Draymond Green, bro, stop teasing. He's Draymondlicious. He can chase that rock, he's Draymondlicious. Acts out because of a shot, he's Draymondlicious. He likes to bang the block, he's Draymondlicious.
That dude is crazy.
Give that dude a tech. Give that dude a tech. Give that dude a tech. Give that dude a tech, please.
Adam Silver having no backbone. It's called a repeat offender. What are you waiting on? Check it out, y'all. A Draymond fit. Bullying all the refs because his offense ain't shooting.
I think that's going to be Draymond's go-to in game five. He's going to try and bully the refs again at home.
I think you need to go on his podcast.
I'd be dead honest with him. I wouldn't be like, oh my God, I'm on his podcast. Should I wear a tie? Should I wear this? No, I'd have a real conversation.
Look,
with
it's going to be a tough game. I mean, the Warriors are going to be out for blood. The fans are going to be raucous. It's going to be obviously a tough environment for the Celtics to win in. But they have continued to find ways to get it done. Now, maybe you could argue they're playing with fire. Yep. But they have continued to find ways to win in these spots. And until they are put down, I am going to continue to believe. I just still believe in their path so much and the experiences they've had. You said they've never done this and never done that. Well, they never won game 6 and 7 against the Bucks in that series 2 times ago. They never won game 7 on the road.
Because I believe that the Celtics win game 5 and they come home and win game 6. That's why I'm coming off of Celtics in 7. I think if they win game 5, they win game 6, series over.
There you go. I agree. I think they can do. I actually think they're going to win game 6 and 7. I think that's how it's going
to
go.
I think they have to win Monday night to get it back to Boston to win in game 6. I think that it makes it even sweeter.
That'd be awesome.
Considering everything that went through in this series and the previous series to win the NBA championship at home in game 6, where after game 4, it looked like they may lose it in 7. At Golden State. So
I can't wait to see how Jason Tatum plays. And I'm not just talking about stats. I'm talking about how he plays in the big moments, down the stretch, the fourth quarters. I can't wait to see how he responds.
All right, score. I'm going to say Celtics 109, Warriors 106.
104-98 Celtics.
Wow, defensive struggle. Check that. Either way.
104-98 Warriors. I think the Warriors win game five.
Mm.
Everyone freaks out because it's two straight losses.
And with only one to go,
Celtics
would have to win two in a row. Wow.
Yeah. I don't feel good about that. I think the Celtics could bounce back, but just to throw it out there, let's go.
Follow us on Twitter, at WEEI, at KJ Carson, at Mark Dondero. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday morning with KJ and Dondero. We bring the fire for 2 hours once a week. So thank you so much and have a great Sunday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.